message that calls us to get fit in godliness, to not only be healthy in our godliness, but be fit and be exercising our godliness every day. The passage for today is 1 Timothy chapter 4. My microphone. Thank you. All right. Can you hear me? Thank you. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 16. So let's read this passage. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's pray. Father, we ask you that as we meditate on your word, that you help us to see your desire for our lives, that your desire is that we will be godly people, that will honor you and glorify you every day. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will open our eyes to see the truth of your scripture, and that will give us the strength and the perseverance to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this passage, Paul was writing to a young pastor, Timothy. And he was training Timothy to be not only a healthy pastor, a spiritually healthy pastor, but a pastor that is spiritually fit for the challenges that God has in his life. How many of you have followed either an exercise plan or a diet, either because you wanted to be fit or because your doctor told you that if you didn't do that, you were going to die? So, yeah, I remember when I was still in seminary a couple years ago, they wanted us to do a fundraiser, and we decided to run a 10K to raise funds for the seminary. The thing is, I don't run. If you see me running, I'm in danger, so you need to help me. I don't really run. So for me, I was thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do on this, but, you know, I'm 25 years old at the time. I'm healthy. It should be okay. It's not going to be that hard. And I was so busy with homework and things like that that I didn't take the time to practice. I thought I was going to be fine. So the day of the 10K comes, and I'm excited about it. So I get started, and the first mile, I'm feeling great. Not only that, I am the first one. I'm ahead of everybody else. I'm running so fast, and I'm like, this is going to be so easy. By the time that we get to the second mile, things start to get a little harder. My legs feel a little heavier, and then things get harder and harder, and it gets to a point that I'm sweating, and my legs are burning. I'm shaking. I can't feel my legs anymore, and I can hardly stand, let alone run. I was the last one to get to the finish line. And even getting to the car after that was a big challenge. So, you know, I wasn't prepared for that race. I wasn't prepared for running a 10K. It was something that I was definitely not fit to do. And the reason is that I didn't practice. I didn't prepare myself for that. I wasn't fit. This morning, what I want to call you to do is to get fit. But not, I'm not talking about physically fit, which is fine. It's a great thing to be physically fit. But what I'm talking about is being spiritually fit. Fit to run the race of life that God has for us. The reason why we are not spiritually fit is because we believe lies. We think, one of the lies that we believe is that we think we can run the race of life without godliness, without preparing for it. We can't. That is silly. And that's what verse 7 says. Verse 7 on our passage says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Don't believe the lies of the world, that you can just, you know, listen to your heart and follow your heart and everything will be fine. That's a lie. That's not what God's word tells us to do. This passage is telling us to ignore those lies, the ideas that the world is feeding us, and instead to train ourselves for godliness. And what is godliness? Godliness is to please God with our actions. Godliness is to live a life that gives glory to God. On verse 8, we read, while bodily training is of some value, I wish I had known this when I was running that 10K, but while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. Like, I didn't take my physical training seriously to run that race. We often don't take our spiritual training seriously either. We fail to see that godliness changes our lives in every aspect of it. You know, being a godly man has benefits in every area of your life, as a husband, as a father, as a worker, a neighbor. Being a godly child or a godly teenager has many benefits in every area of your lives. In the way that you honor your parents, in the way that you behave yourself when you go to school. Being a godly woman has many benefits in every area of your lives. You become a friend that others can trust and rely on. People seek your wisdom as a friend, as a mother, as a woman. All of us here, we can all benefit from training in godliness. This is something for all of us. This is something that Paul wrote to a pastor, but you shouldn't expect a life of godliness only from your pastor. This is for all of us. On verse 8, we continue reading. It holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. And in verse 9, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Thinking about how godliness holds promise for this life, there are rewards that we see when we are godly in this life, but especially in the life to come, especially thinking about eternity. Think about it. How many things did you do this week that hold eternal value? How much time did you spend doing things that are just temporary, that don't hold eternal value, like sitting watching TV or scrolling through social media? And comparing that to how much time did you spend serving your church or serving your spouse, serving your children, spending time in God's word, in prayer. We need to remember that to train ourselves for godliness, we need to practice these things that hold eternal value. Because eternity is the end that we need to strive for. Eternity with God is the end that we need to strive for. As verse 10 says, for this end we toil and strive. And when we use this language here, when the Bible is using the language of toiling and striving, for a lot of people, this brings the idea of legalism. Legalism is that idea that you have to do things to in order for God to love you, in order for God to accept you. It's based on your works. That you do things that the Bible doesn't even command you to do because you want to look good, you want to earn God's love, and then you demand other people to do the same things that you're doing. That's what legalism is. But this, what Paul is talking about, toiling and striving, it's completely different from that. What Paul is talking about is when you obey God because you love God, because you are thankful for everything that God has done to save you, and you want to be useful to God. You want to glorify God. And even though sometimes it's hard, and sometimes you're doing things you don't want to do, you do this because you love God, and you know you are forgiven, and you are accepted by God. Not on the basis of your work, but on the basis of what Christ has done for you. That's what Paul is talking about. Because of everything that God has done for us, we toil and strive. And when you think about toiling and striving, working hard, what this brings to my mind is thinking about an athlete, you know, someone who is on the Olympics. Athletes, they avoid certain things in order to stay in shape so that they can reach their goals. They, you know, if they skip practice one time, that's not going to destroy their career. It's not going to make them not an athlete anymore. But they know that one practice that they miss will put them a step behind from their goal. If they know that if they have a milkshake or a Big Mac, that's not going to ruin them. It's going to be okay. But they know that if they do that, that will put them a little bit behind from their goal. They are training for a medal. They are training for a greater purpose. They have a goal. We have a goal in our spiritual lives, to glorify God, to be with Him in eternity. And we want to live a life that brings glory to Him. And we have things in our lives that put us a step behind from that goal of being a godly person, from that goal of living a life that brings honor to God. What is that? What is your Big Mac? What is your milkshake? Is it staying home on a Sunday morning just because it's cold outside and you don't really want to go to church? You know, that's not going to make you not a Christian anymore. You're not going to lose your salvation when you do that, but it puts you a step behind from your goal. Or not reading your Bible this one day because you're too busy. Those are things that will not make you lose your relationship with God, your salvation, but they do put you a step behind from the goal that we have to glorify God. As the passage is saying, we toil and strive. And why do we do that? Because we, on verse 10, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. We toil and strive because our hope is in God, not because we are wanting to achieve things from God. We're wanting to gain His favor and His love. We already have that. We already have God's favor and love because we do that because our hope is already set on the living God. The truth is, there would be no hope for us on ourselves. There is nothing we can do on ourselves that could ever please God. Only Christ can truly, really please the Father. And only when we are in Christ, we can truly please God. We need to repent, to turn from our sins, and we need to follow Christ as our Lord, our Savior, our greatest treasure. And when we do that, God saves us, and He is pleased with us. He saves us for a life that glorifies Him, that honors Him. And this passage, as we talk about God being a Savior, it says, God is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. What this is saying is that God gives common grace to everyone, those who are His children and those who are not His children, those who are saved in Christ and those who are not saved. He gives the sunlight to everyone, not only to us. He gives the snow to everyone, not only to us. But he gives special care to his children. He gives special love to his children. And in this passage, in his love, he gives us five steps that we can take to be fit in godliness, to live a life that glorifies him. And the first step that we see here is that we need to cultivate a godly character. We need to cultivate a godly character. On verse 11, it says, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Cultivate a godly character. Set an example in your speech, in the way that you speak, by not being sarcastic, not being harsh in your words, not being a gossip, by not speaking in anger or lying, but instead speaking the truth of God's word in love. Words that bring glory to God, words that may hurt people sometimes, but that will save them. How are you glorifying God in your speech? Think about it. Are the things that you say bringing glory to God? Also in your conduct, in the way that you live, by being a hard worker, by being a godly parent, a godly spouse, by being someone that people look at and see Christ in your life. In the way that you love. That you love not only the people closest to you, but also people that are farther away from you. The way that you love your church, that you serve your church and give towards those who need your help. In the way that you have, in your faith, by trusting God in everything in your life. Cultivate a godly character in your purity, by keeping yourself pure to your God. And a lot of times we give excuses because we know we are not having a godly character in those areas. You can say, I'm too young to do this. You know, or you can say, I'm too old. I'm too old to serve in this area in our church. Someone else can do it better. I'm not fit for this. We can give excuses for those for not living a life that is godly. What is your excuse that you've been giving? Is it that you're too young to step up? Or too old? Too busy? That someone else can do it better? There are no excuses. Every believer needs to live as an example of Christ. And for you to do that, you need to take the next step here that we see in this passage. The next step is to elevate the scriptures. Elevate the scriptures. In verse 13, we read, "Devote yourself to the public reading of the scriptures, to exhortation, to teaching." Thinking about this, devoting yourself to scripture, I was thinking about this one time that we were hiking, and our guide, the guy that was guiding us through the trail, he was telling us about this one time when this is something that he does, it's his job, he's a professional hiker, so he was guiding this group through the same trail, and he was always reminding everyone to drink water, because it was kind of a cold area that we were walking through. So when it's cold, a lot of times you forget to drink water. So he was always reminding us, make sure that you're drinking water, because I was with this group this one time, and I was reminding everybody to drink water. But what happened is that I forgot to drink water myself. So the guide passed out in the middle of nowhere with all these people that they have no idea where they're at. And he was always telling everybody, make sure you drink water. And he didn't drink water himself. But that's what we do in our lives sometimes. We tell everybody, read the Bible, pray, do this. But we don't do those things ourselves. Ministry can be tiring. Ministry is harder than hiking. Ministry, we need water. We need spiritual water that we receive when we spend time with God, when we spend time in His Word, in prayer. We need those things. There is no way we can serve other people unless we are served first with the water from God's Word, with the time that we spend with God. We need that in our lives. And when we do that, we can elevate the Scriptures. We can use it. We can use God's Word to teach people. We can use God's Word sitting across the table from a friend who is going through problems in their marriage. We can use God's Word to teach Sunday school or to teach children or to, you know, anything. But in order for us to do that, we need to spend time in the Scriptures ourselves. We need to prepare and train ourselves, stay fit in the Scriptures. And then when we do that, we can take the next step. Exercise our gifts for the good of others. The next step is to exercise our gifts, and that's in verse 14. Do not neglect the gift you have. When I read this, I was thinking about this one time that I was building a shelving unit for Bree for her birthday. She loves coffee, but in our kitchen we didn't have a space for her coffee maker and her mugs and stuff like that. So I had the idea of building her a little shelf for her to put those things. And so I went to Home Depot and I got all the supplies. I got the wood. I looked up, you know, how to build a shelf on YouTube, and I was ready to do it. So I got home, and we have this box of tools that we got from everybody, from our family, grandparents, that has all sorts of tools in it. So I got home, and I go through the tools that I have, and I get everything set up, and I'm thinking, you know, this is going to take me about a couple hours. That's what it took the guy on the video, 2 hours to do this, so it's going to take me a couple hours. I spent the whole day working on it, and more than a day working on it, and I wasn't even done. And I could only find a handsaw to cut the wood. So if you've used a handsaw, it takes time, and it hurts. And it took me a long time to build that shelf. Eventually, I did it. It was a little bit rough in the edges, but it worked. It did the job. And then I was putting away the tools and the supplies that I used. And then when I look in that toolbox, and I see in the bottom of the toolbox, I see an electric saw there. And I'm like, why did I not go through this? But that, you know, this is what we do. We have things that we don't use. We don't even know they are there sometimes. That's what we do in our spiritual lives too. God gives us gifts, and we don't use them. We need to use the tools in our toolbox. The Holy Spirit is equipping His people, God's people, with gifts for us to serve in the ministry. You have tools to serve in the ministry, all of you. And just look around. Look at your church. What are the needs here? What are the needs in the ministry of this church that you can jump on and you can start serving? Because God will equip you to serve. Do not neglect the gift you have. You have gifts, and you cannot neglect them. There are needs in this local church. There are needs in this community. There are needs even around the world in missions. And that's why we are jumping on it. What are the needs that you can help with, that you can use your tools, your gifts to help with? Even if you don't know what those gifts are, start serving, and you will find out. If something is not your gift, it's going to be very obvious, and then you can jump onto something else. But you need to start doing something. Do not neglect the gift you have. And then verse 15, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Why? So that all may see your progress. That's the next step that we have here. The fourth step for us to be fit in godliness is to immerse yourself in the ministry. A lot of times we just want to tiptoe the water of ministry. We don't want to jump and we don't want to swim. We don't want to dive in. We don't want to get too involved in things. We just want to spend a little bit of time here and there. But you know, you can tell the difference between a professional swimmer who spends hours swimming to prepare for a goal, between that person and someone who's only tiptoeing water, who is only putting their foot in the water but then going away. The difference is obvious. You just throw them in the water and see what happens. What are you? Are you jumping into the ministry? Are you getting involved? Or are you just spending a little bit of time here and there? You know, people will be able to tell the difference between someone who is really diving in and getting involved in the ministry and someone who is only tiptoeing the water of ministry. There is progress in your life when you serve in ministry. You may not be a pastor, you may not be in vocational ministry, but you are a Christian. And that's what God is calling you to do, to serve. And if you do serve, everyone will be able to see the difference in your life. Everyone will be able to see the progress in your life. You want to see progress in your pastor's life. You want your pastor to grow, to be godly, but I'm sure your pastor wants to see progress in your life. He wants to see you growing. He wants to see you serving. God wants to see progress in your lives as well. And then that leads us to the last step. So the first step that we saw here for us to be fit in godliness was to cultivate a godly character. The second step was to elevate the scriptures. The third step, to exercise your gifts. The fourth step was to immerse yourself in the ministry. And now the fifth step is to watch yourself. Watch yourself. On verse 16 we read, "Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching." Keep a close watch on your character and your doctrine, in the things you do and the things you say. It's really hard to keep a close watch on our doctrine, to make sure that we have a biblical understanding of life, a biblical understanding of who God is, who we are. It's challenging. It takes time in the Word. But it's also very challenging to keep a watch on our character. As a matter of fact, most pastors who are disqualified from ministry are not disqualified because of their doctrine. They have great doctrine. They're disqualified because of their character. That is a danger for all of us, not only for pastors. So we have to keep a close watch on our doctrine, but also our character. And we have to persist in this, as the passage says. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. If we are lazy, if there's no progress in our spiritual lives, that will affect not only our own lives personally, but that will affect the people that God wants us to serve. That will affect the people around us as well. It is not an individual thing. Godliness is something that affects those around us. But if you train yourself for godliness, there will be progress, not only in your life, but in the lives of those who you serve. And that's what God wants for us. God wants us to have progress in our lives so that we can be useful in His ministry. And the key to progress in the ministry, progress in godliness, is in cultivating a godly character. How are you going to do this week? How are you going to cultivate a character that brings glory to God in everything that you do and say? To elevate the scriptures. How are you going to do that this week? What is your plan to elevate the scriptures this week? Exercise your gifts. How are you going to put your gifts to action in the ministry of this church, in your daily lives? We need to immerse ourselves in the ministry. We can't expect the pastor to do everything. We are a body. You are a family here. You need to do this together. Watch yourself. Make sure that your doctrine is in line with Scripture. But not only that, your character, your lives are in line with Scripture. My burden for you here this morning is that you will not be like me running that 10K race that I told you about, that you will be exhausted, that you will be tired of not reaching your goal in your spiritual life. Whether you're on the first mile of this race or you are close to the finish line of the race of life, jump in, get started, and finish the race well. To hear God saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That is what we all want to hear. Let's pray. Father, thank you for calling us to be part of your ministry, to be part of your church, to serve. And Lord, help us to train ourselves for godliness. Help us to be fit in our godly lives. Lord, help us to cultivate a character that brings glory to you. Help us to glorify you as we elevate the scriptures, as we speak your word to everyone around us. Lord, help us to exercise our gifts, to put things, the things that you've given us into action and to serve you. Help us to immerse ourselves in the ministry, to dedicate our lives to your ministry, and to watch ourselves so that our character and our teaching will be glorifying to you. Lord, that everyone may see the progress in our lives, and many people may be blessed through us. May all this be for you and for your glory. Amen.